Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, December 6th, 2013. My name is Angela Walton Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how is everyone today? December is here. Can you believe it? After this week, after tomorrow, only 3 more weeks left in the year. Oh my gosh, so hard to believe. And of course, this is the season for holiday parties and gatherings that, are going to be unfolding in the weeks that remain. And I know that several genealogy societies are holding their end of the year events as well. So compliments of the season to everyone. I know people are going to be doing things in St. Louis. And of course, I always want to extend a greeting to them. Well, before I go any further, I have to just pause a little bit and say, you know, the last, oh, I won't even say 24 hours, the last 12 or 15 hours or so have really been heavy for me, heavy on my heart. We lost a true giant in the world yesterday, Nelson Mandela. This is a person whom many of us have heard of his name for many years. I heard of his name even when I was a child and never knew who he was. And as I came of age and became a mature adult, I began to hear of him more. And as I became more interested in world affairs and affairs as well, in terms of Pan-African affairs, his name was always mentioned. I lived in Boston until the 1990s, and I was there when Nelson Mandela was brought to America after he was freed. He had his first trip. He had children who were attending school in Boston. And of course, Boston opened its arms to this man. And my mom was still here. And we went together and we were on the commons. We sat down on the grass and waited for him a good portion of the day until he arrived. And what an experience it was. And oh my goodness, this is a man who was a true warrior for human justice. And he died yesterday at the age of 95. A rich life, a really full life. 27 of those 95 years he spent in prison just for fighting for justice. And just something that, as I said, this man is a true warrior for humankind. And I felt just so very, very touched because I was, well, in his presence among thousands of people. But when he and Winnie arrived in the U.S. for the first time, to be there on that day in June, wow, it was just so amazing to see. And what a joy it was, because he represented such an incredible time. And, you know, what he went through and what people went through in South Africa was so similar to what people went through here. And he became the icon. And thankfully, he was a man who lived. He wasn't assassinated too early, as so many of our own people were here. And he represented so much to me. And I guess perhaps maybe because I had begun reading about him and I was old enough to really understand what it was about, I was so inspired of this man who gave up 27 years of his life and was willing to die for what he said was right. I can only hope that I will have such courage in my own lifetime, and we should all be so courageous and should dare to learn from him. So, you know, Godspeed, Nelson Mandela, Mandiba, Amandla. It was just a day that has touched me so. Anyway, things continue, and this man lived and died so that we can continue to live freely, as we all do. But he lived and fought for all of us. Anyway, things are going on. By the way, I have to pause and say I hope that our friends and family from Texas, the Northeast Oklahoma, Northwest Arkansas, and Southwest Missouri I hope that you are all safe. I understand you've been affected by some very severe ice. I hope that everyone is safe and warm and dry. Some of these storms are going to be drifting eastward, but I know that there's another storm from the west that's expected to come into the same area next week. So this is a wish for all of you there to be safe. And I hope that there won't be loss of power, and hope certainly that there won't be loss of life. So to all of our genealogy friends and family, certainly stay safe, everyone. Things are going on as we're moving through the holiday season. Yeah, shopping has begun. I try and keep it to a minimum a bit. But, you know, this is the time. I know that people are out and hustling and bustling. But there are others who are also planning for next year. I'm one of those people, too. There are things that are going on. I know some of you are planning to head out west in February for Roots Tech. And by the way, I wanted to mention, even though we're more than a year away from that, but this time next year, everyone's going to be talking about Roots Tech 2015, because that's going to be an exciting event, because it's going to be sort of a double event. The 2015 Roots Tech event is going to be, joined by, or it's going to be sharing certainly a presence and a space with the FGS conference. So I think in the next month or so, you're probably going to be hearing a new call for papers as well for 2015. Going to be an exciting time to be in Salt Lake City. So let's just keep your eyes and ears open for it. And of course, registration is underway for those of you who are fortunate enough to be going out to Salt Lake City this coming February as well. Now, for those of you who have an interest in detective work, in the real sense, detective work, and you know, we always say that we are detectives as genealogists, but there is something for those of you who are truly interested coming up in March, and maybe if you are interested, you may want to explore the actual events, two of which they're back-to-back in March of 2014, the event sponsored by the Council for the Advancement of Forensic Genealogy. As I said, they are both back-to-back, and it's kind of interesting. One is really for those who are really trying to learn the process, really trying to learn forensic genealogy and what it really means. And, of course, there is the one already, the conference, which comes immediately after that, that is going to be for those who have experience. But it's really kind of a neat thing to look at, and I think that, well, you're hearing about it a lot more, which is why I'm actually mentioning it right now. The first event is called Foundations in Forensic Genealogy, which is a detailed overview of the profession. And this is something that really does sound interesting. I don't think I'm going to make it myself for 2014, but I am thinking about it for 2015, actually, because it's something that I think we all need a certain degree of exposure to. And for another reason, there is more. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot more interest these days in people coming forward and looking for the living, looking for descendants, looking for heirs, looking for long-lost family members from whom there's been a separation. So coming forth in time is something that's really becoming more and more utilized and sought. So as a result, I think it would be something that would be of interest of many. Some, of course, who already work in that field as professionals. Of course, people know that private detectives use these kinds of skills all the time, but those who are looking for descendants or property heirs as well utilize these particular skills that are taught in organizations such as this. And of course, the Council for the Advancement of Forensic Genealogy is certainly an opportunity to do that. As I said, these are two events. They're back to back. One is the Foundations in Forensic Genealogy, and the other one, which is 3 days later, the Advanced Forensic Evidence Analysis Track, which is going to give individuals a chance to really develop their advanced skills. And one is a prerequisite to the other. So you just can't jump in the advanced level class if you've really not had anything in really getting those foundations. The foundations course, March 24th to 26th, and the advanced forensic evidence analysis, the 27th through the 29th. But it really is kind of interesting. There are three intense days going to take place in Dallas, Texas, at the Wyndham Hotel at Love Field area. So, you know, think about it. Early registration is $449. After that, I think it goes up to $500. But you know, think about doing it. I won't do it for 2014, but if possible, I might look into it for 2015 for myself, because it's one of those areas in which I think we all need to just acquire certain skills. So pay attention to that if you are so inclined and can get to that part of the country. I think you might find it certainly to be some time well spent. And I have heard mention of a Civil War conference coming up in July in 2014. Lots going on in the summertime. But this one caught my attention, but I don't know many details about it. I just know that there's a national conference going to take place in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and it's a national convention of the National Daughters of Union Veterans. As I said, it will be in Gettysburg in late July, but I don't know in terms of what the program will consist of. I do hope that there will be something about if they're going to include things about certainly U.S. colored troops or descendants of U.S. colored troops. I certainly hope that will be included. And if they're talking even about women, there were a lot of women who served as nurses and matrons in the Civil War. So I don't know, again, I have not seen a call for papers, but someone shared it with me that there's a conference coming up. So when I get a little bit more information, I will be passing that on to you most definitely. Oh, I also understand that at the Pittsburgh Conference, GRIP, Genealogy Research Institute in Pittsburgh, coming up also in next July, there's going to be an African American track that will be taking place. This will not conflict with MAGI, the Midwest African American Institute in St. Louis, nor will it conflict with the African American track at Sanford in June. So if you do have lots of money, maybe you can make all three. But if not, then you have certainly a variety from which you can certainly look and select. They all sound very good, and you know, the summertime, well, the weather's always great. Who doesn't like summer and a chance to go and listen and learn? So you may want to take a look at that as well. Well, some of you know that one of my very favorite record groups is Record Group 105. What is that? The Bureau of Refugees, Freedmen, and Abandoned Lands, which we all know as the Freedmen's Bureau. Well, last night's guest on Bernie Spinnett's Blog Talk Radio show, Research at the National Archives and Beyond, was Sharon Batiste Gillens, who is a wonderful, wonderful researcher and historian in her own right, who was sharing with the listeners the valuable data to be found in this record set. Now, I have heard her present. She is an excellent presenter and a scholar and historian, as I said, in her own right. I know she lives in Galveston, Texas, and she works quite hard in the community where she lives to preserve the history of Juneteenth, which, as many of us know, began right there. Well, she, of course, beyond that, she is a truly devoted fan of Record Group 105. She was quite enlightening. She really talked about how much one can glean from the data in Record Group 105. She discussed the labor contracts, cohabitation records, marriages, cases that occurred to settle disputes, and so much more. Things that you wouldn't expect to find about the local history, about the establishments of schools, and in some cases you find records that will predate that 1870 census by 4, even 5 years. And many people don't realize some of these lists, as they're called, list of former slaves or list of colored persons or whatever they may be called in a particular field office, these in many cases are the very first census records reflecting formerly enslaved men, women, and children who are really now being listed as families, as free human beings. And the value of this record set, well, I have a personal bias and wholeheartedly agree that it cannot be overemphasized. And she really just pointed out that, yes, it's certainly underused, but, and also it's a bit complex. It's not the easiest group to just jump in and find data because they're not indexed. But the lack of indexing should be no reason not to explore the information that's there. It is, I have found, and I agree with her, that Freedmen's Bureau records certainly are a wonderful way to come upon the community's post-Civil War history. And this data hasn't been published any other place. I posted something about a month and a half ago on my blog for the United States Colored Troops. And on that particular blog, I posted some bounty records of soldiers who were paid bounties after the Civil War. And I know that some people have found bounty records in their state, in their state archives. We don't have any such record in Arkansas at the state archives, but what a surprise to find the Arkansas Union soldier bounty records in the Freedmen's Bureau, just kind of buried in one of the reels of microfilm. What a real thrill that was. I posted it, in fact, on my blog. It was several pages long, so I posted it in sections, sort of alphabetical sections. But so much information is there. And as she said, in most cases, this information has been published no other place. And I use the word published sort of figuratively because they've basically been digitized, which makes it a microfilm publication, but the data hasn't been put in print for the world to see. Oh my goodness. So if you have a chance, listen to the show. It was a wonderful show to hear last night. And of course, as with all of her shows, it can be heard as a podcast immediately afterwards. So you can go and click on it and listen to it online, or you can download it from iTunes as well. And as you know, Bernice Bennett's show airs every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Well, by the way, I'm just curious, as many of you are sort of winding down and I know you're getting into the holiday season now, and we already have passed one holiday. I can't believe Thanksgiving is already over and we're in that in-between phase now, going to Christmas time. But, you know, wow. What are you doing now to sort of capture and make some of those new memories? And do you have particular traditions that are new? I often like to look at old record sets and old oral history collections because I like to find out how generations before us celebrated Christmas and how they celebrated the holidays. I mentioned this a little bit last week during the Thanksgiving holiday, because it was sometimes something, tiny things became such treasures, whether it was an orange or a bag of nuts or you know, the big peppermint candy and all of that. But, you know, are there some family traditions that you have? One of the things that I have recently done myself, I recently finished a project that I started, I won't even tell you how long ago, but I did finish a quilt that I started far too long ago and finished it just about 4 weeks ago. And I decided, it's too late to try and start a Christmas quilt or a quilt, a little table runner. But I've decided that in the future, I want to be able to give all of my nieces and nephews something handmade from me. So I'm starting a year early. This is not going to be for this year, but it's something that I think that when I was finishing up the quilt and I realized, and you know, stitching my name in it too, where I signed it on the back. Wow, I'd like to leave each one of my nieces and nephews their own hand quilted item from me. And realize I'm very fortunate because I have four, if not five, of my grandmother's quilts and one made by my great grandmother. And the one my great grandmother is probably the most delicate. It's a double wedding ring quilt. Quilt with the scalloped edges, and that one's kind of unique for a lot of reasons, because apparently I had it appraised once, and by a master quilter, in fact, and she had made it apparently with raw cotton, which I didn't know that, because they were saying, oh yeah, you can feel the cotton seeds inside, which kind of surprised me. But it's fragile because, of course, it's very old fabric and what have you. But I realized, you know, how many of us don't have things that we can pass on that we put our spirit into it, so to speak. When you're touching something off and on for such a long time, you realize a certain amount of care that went into that object by an ancestor, by a loved one. So that's going to be something I'm going to try to start. Let's see this time next year if I'm really successful, but I hope that I am. But I am going to try and have at least a quilt that I give to each of them. And I guess I'm in that sort of mood because I'm thinking of that concept of leaving something that people not just remember you, but leaving something that's just a part of the past, something that our ancestors have touched. I like to touch it and think that maybe, you know, I'm feeling the same thing that they felt, and maybe someone will come and touch the same fabric that I touch and realize the care and the feeling and emotion went into it. Oh, I'm getting really kind of sentimental here, and I know why. I guess I'm thinking of legacy. I'm thinking of leaving a legacy, that concept of what it means, probably a bit influenced by feeling and appreciating the legacy that was left to us by people who've gone on, loved ones, and those who are distant, but maybe people we care about, such as Nelson Mandela and his legacy. He's left a tremendous legacy, and his footprints are hard to follow, and certainly shoes are hard to fill. But the little things that we do are also important, and the stories that we tell. One of the things that I realized, I guess in the last several months, is that we need to start leaving our own little vignettes, our own taped MP3 files, where we talk about different chapters in our own life, because how are the others going to know it? You know, I have several binders in which I keep some of my records on different family lines, but, you know, a lot of people are not going to pick it up and really understand why I kept a particular item or what was the circumstance around this sliver of paper that I happened to have put inside a sheet protector with some notes scratched on it, unless I include another piece of paper that's defining what that is. Not a bad idea. Sometimes we can leave other kinds of heirlooms, other kinds of treasures, and there are a lot more resources that we have now to do that, and perhaps it's time that we start thinking about that as well. Let us make sure that, of course, that we understand everybody doesn't have the same feeling that we have about the recording that legacy or leaving that legacy. Everybody doesn't have the same interest in history that we have, but it is still important nevertheless, and we should leave it behind nevertheless. And I guess that's sort of the lesson I think I'll stop with. I'm stopping. I'm very pensive because I think about those who have dedicated themselves to so much. And sometimes if we do nothing else, we can dedicate ourselves to our family, not just the family around whom we live at the present, but the family yet to come. And we've got to leave something for them as well. And so we continue to live our lives as fully as we can and to give them something, because they're just as important. Those voices not yet born. And as the writer Ayikwe Arma used to say, or said in one of his book titles, the beautiful ones are not yet born. Well, we're doing these things for them. We leave this legacy. We tell our stories for them as well. Food for thought, you know, during this time, during this holiday season, and if nothing else, just slow down, give some thought to why we do what we do, and we have so many different traditions. I know that many of you come from different parts of the country. You don't do things the way we do them here in Maryland, or the way we did when I was growing up in western Arkansas and eastern Oklahoma, but all of it's still good. And our task is to talk about it. So things to think about, and we have at least, the good thing is that we have a lot more tools to assist us with that process. On that note, I am going to wind it down a little bit today, a little bit early, a few minutes early. And of course, thank you all for touching base with me, dropping me notes on what's going on. And of course, wow, people out west, please stay safe. That ice storm is nothing to play with. Stay inside. Don't venture too far. Stay warm and dry and safe. And, you know, hey, let's move forward. And, you know, just thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. And, you know, that I always appreciate you. So in the meantime, please keep doing what you do. And you know what I'm going to say. Keep researching. Keep documenting. And yes, always keep sharing what you find. Have a great week, everyone. Be well. Be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. And today I sign off just a little differently, as I honor the passing of a very great man. Shabbat Shalom.